You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
We ask our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet, get an isolation with the linebacker. You tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. You can find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. Join alongside Tim live in Green Bay. We got Emilio going to be on here in a minute. He's just got home and getting cleaned up and whatnot. So he's quite the character, wouldn't you say, Tim?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll leave the pre-show waiting room content for something else, you know. We'll leave that for another discussion.
That dude is you never know when he's gonna hop in here and, you know, you're either gonna be jamming out the big green tractor or he might be sitting shirtless in a chair, you know, waiting for the show to start. You never know what you're gonna get with Emilio.
Gotta love it.
I was young once too, so you know how it goes. Let's see here in the chat real quick. Eric Sutherland said, Tavion McCarthy, DB from Mercer, late round or possible undrafted free agent target cornerback to look at, 44-inch vertical, sub 4.440. I get excited, man. I seen that vertical all over the internet after you mentioned him, Eric, and I can't pull enough info to put him on my board is what sucks. Like, he's not on the consensus big board.
Right.
He's not on PFF's board. Definitely a name to keep an eye out for, though, because my goodness, that dude, you know, that's some crazy measurables, right? Somebody will take a shot on him, whether it's in the draft or, like you said, undrafted free agent too. And what I wanted to say is, everyone in here, send me, you know, email me or text me prospects like that you're like, hey, man, this is a name that isn't mentioned much. I'm kind of excited about. And I'll try to work them into my board. That's how we found the guy the other day. Now, Christian Boyd, after working him completely through my board, one of the names we found, he's at the 149 mark now, if I remember correctly. So he fell out of that top 100 I was telling you guys about. He's actually at 147 right now. Still a promising prospect for sure. Great PFF grade from 2022. And then obviously other places have him kind of high. I think he's 300 on the consensus big board right now. But on PFF's draft board, I think he was 140. And again, he graded out as the 10th best, 10th highest graded defensive lineman last year. So something to kind of keep an eye on there. These are as we lead up to the draft, Tim, I love the rumor mill is going to get swirling. And it's where you got to be careful and not buy too much stock into some of the rumors from specific, info providers, if you will, right? One of the guys I trust is Daniel Jeremiah. And we'll actually play a video from him here in just a second. You know, if Daniel Jeremiah is saying it, he's kind of filtering through the BS, right? And trying to anyway. And it's impossible to completely filter through it. But we'll get to some of that stuff here in a minute because it's full-blown lying season right now as we get ready for the draft. And I think it's just another cool aspect of it where you got to kind of filter through the information. So, all right, Tim, do you got anything you want to hit on as we lead off here? Anything on the forefront of your mind before we kind of dive into some of the material I got set up here?
No, I just think, you know, talking about some of these, prospects that may not be on the big boards across the league in the rumor mill right now, it's just great to, you know, really reach out to people because you never know who's looking at who. And we're no stranger in Green Bay to, you know, late round draft picks that end up being studs, undrafted free agents that end up being studs. So definitely send us your picks. You know, some people that maybe we're not looking at, we haven't talked about a lot, you know, definitely send us who's on your radar because, you know, you always talk about it, Clayton, like, you know, go based off of who you can trust, right? And people that you are familiar with. Well, you know, the posse is strong here, and you never know who's got a draft crush that may not be on your board. So don't hesitate to send us some of those picks that maybe we haven't drafted a million times in our mocks, and we might have not, you know, looked at necessarily. So I just appreciate that, because I'm constantly learning when it comes to this year's draft and moving forward, not being a big college football guy myself. So those names that may be, you know, late round guys or people that are overlooked, they're maybe not on the consensus big board. They're not necessarily on the 33rd teams board. So send them our way, you know, at least from my perspective. I'm appreciative of that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, man. No doubt about it. I'm trying to get everything set up here on my end real quick and keep it as professional as we can. But I know Coach Lynn in the chat said, here we go, baby. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, and everything you said, I can echo, man, as far as the you know, the posse and the whole purpose of this channel. I know we said it 1,000 times, but it can't be said enough, is all of us as fans kind of coming together and going, hey, how can we make this draft experience better? How can we get the most up-to-date information out there? There's been many times that the chat has broken news on our show, and that's exactly what we wanted. We don't want to come in here like a bunch of know-it-alls. We want to kind of learn from each other for sure. I know Paul Robertson in the chat said we got an echo. Is anyone else experiencing the echo other than Paul Robertson? I need to know that. He's the only one mentioning it, but everyone might be just being nice here. I'm definitely not getting an echo on my end. Are you feeling anything over there, Tim?
No echo.
All right, good deal. We'll just kind of keep our eye on the chat and see, see if we got anything there. Coach Lynn in the chat said, we do a great job over the years of identifying players that work in our system and developing to be successful. It's the Packer way, man. It's definitely how they're building it for sure. Yeah, it looks like everybody else, Paul, is saying there's no echo. I don't mean to call you out, but that ain't the goal here. But I don't know. Maybe it's something. If you close out the stream, maybe come back in. It might fix it. But sorry that you're experiencing that, though. Anonymous Human just jumped in here and said, what's up, mofo? So there you go. All right, appreciate you swinging through. Never seen you here before, but cool. Awesome. I do want to give a quick shout out too before we get into the content. The Patreon is lighting up. Appreciate you guys and gals supporting the show. Again, we created it so we could kind of move the posse over there, the PTA posse. And just want to give a shout out to everyone with active membership here. We got Andre Hamilton. We've got John Capel. We got Nodak Mike. We got Randy Cleavers. We got Mark, Larry Cano, Chris Nichols, Chewy, Eric Sutherland, CJN, Jake Gotchi, probably the coolest name on the internet right there. And let's see, we got United Bates, of course, and Justin Connor. Justin Connor has actually been a member of my Patreon since September 16th, 2022, which is wild. Something I've tried not to promote. You know, I'm not into that type of stuff. But again, that's the direction we're going in, guys. We're not going to try to jump through hoops. Got another email today. Sent it over to the guys, trying to make sense of it. Hey, we're just done. We're done with it. We're not going to waste energy trying to fix everything. So we'll just move it to Patreon. We'll get you guys some extra content in that regard. And I think we can kind of communicate on there a little bit too, and maybe create some separate ideas and stuff. Ask you guys and gals questions in there. You can post stuff in there as far as potential prospects, all that good stuff. But again, that link is in the description of the video as well, that Patreon link. So, yeah, let's see here. We got Emilio back with us too. As Eric Sutherland said, he thinks Paul's drunk. So, there you go.
Speaking of shout outs, we got to get a shout out to
Emilio. It's my man. Only guy on the show that's got his own intro video, man. That's how special. How you doing today, Emilio?
I'm good. I'm all right, fellas.
Yeah,
I was busy today. A little retaining wall, cutting up some trees, and a little threw 6 yards of mulch. So, I mean, it was a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. Knucklehead Paul B in the chat says, Trayvon Wallace, Kentucky linebacker, asked by the Packers for a visit. Speedy linebacker. You guys know I'm a Kentucky fan, and Trucker John actually texted me this as well. Shout out to Trucker John. Hope you're doing well, buddy. Hope that health is getting better there in Green Bay. But yeah, Trayvon Wallace, as much as I would love for him to just turn out to be a stud, right, and get drafted by the Packers and all that good stuff, I had him quite a bit lower on my draft board. I've actually got him in the 173 spot. Now, keep in mind, when they talk about top 30 visits, Ted Thompson used to take the approach of trying to bring in top 30 visits for potential undrafted free agents. I'm not suggesting Trayvon Wallace would be undrafted. I don't think that's the case at all. But it doesn't necessarily mean they've got him in their top 30. It's kind of a little bit misleading in that regard. But, yeah, when it comes to that, they also met with him at the combine. So they're definitely showing some serious interest in Trayvon Wallace.
If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure we've taken him three or four times in our mocks as well. So it's not like we don't have our eye on, you know, we've definitely come across that name, which is awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah, and just to kind of give you guys an idea of why he's so low on my board, according to PFF, 531 is the number I had on him for 2023. Now, hopefully that's not wrong. He just didn't grade out well amongst PFF. The consensus big board at the end of the season had him at 140, okay? And then the number that really jumps him up there, or else he would be in the 318 spot as far as a grade on my board, is the 33rd team have him 62nd. So they've got him in that, you know, second to third round range, right? Which says a lot, you know, it really does. And that's how he came in with a score of 190. Of course, he scored over a 9 on RAS, so that puts him in good company there. And as we continue to kind of bend that grade out, that'll actually put him, I can put that in right now, as a matter of fact, at 185. And when it's all said and done, he may jump a couple of spots on my board, not crazy high, but he will jump a few spots, probably to about the 169 mark. So,
you know, what's going to be crazy is like it'll be one of those you look back a year later and it's like, oh, yeah, he did peak in the 60s and he gets taken, you know, in the hundreds. And it's like, yeah, we should have known. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Exactly. That's why we did the little exercise the other day of going back to last year's draft, right? And just kind of remembering, all right, how did these guys fall, right? What were the trends at certain points and all that good stuff? You know, I learned my lesson 2 years ago with Malik. What's his name? The quarterback that got drafted by Tennessee, Malik Willis. You know, I stuck to my board forever, and I allowed Dan Orlovsky to talk me into Malik Willis. I'm like, man, Dan Orlovsky's really sold on this guy. There's a couple other guys too. And I jumped him way up on my board. And then sure enough, he fell in the first round. Some people were saying he might be a top five pick. I'm like, why did I've never again will I do that. Never. That's why I get the information in early and just stick with it. It's so important for sure. So let's see here what else we got. Joseph in the chat says, we'll be thrilled with Wallace in round 4. That's what I'm talking about, Joseph. That area right there, or like you said, or later. I would feel really comfortable with that. And again, according to the 33rd team, that would be great value there, right? He may be gone before them. But, yeah, Eric agrees. Joseph, round 4 would be great. Completely agree with that. So, since we started off talking about the draft, you know, I tweeted something the other day about the potential quarterback that the Vikings may be interested in. And you guys know that they, you know, grabbed an extra first-round pick, and it appears as if they may be positioning themselves to trade up to the 4 or maybe even the number 3 spot, right, depending on how much capital they want to put into that. So the reason I tweeted that out, first of all, it's a division rival, right? And on top of that, quarterbacks drive the draft, period, case closed. You know, that's going to be the position that people are willing to reach on, because if you hit, you hit, right? And it's
quarterbacks drive franchises.
Bingo.
That's it right there.
So however many quarterbacks are going to be taken above the Packers is really going to control the draft, right? For every quarterback that's taken, we get another great prospect falling right in our lap at 25, right? So Daniel Jeremiah was on the Pat McAfee show earlier today, and they asked him about quarterbacks and specifically J.J. McCarthy. Now, if you listen to like Michael Lombardi is adamant, hey, look, you know, people, it's lying season. People are going to put information out there to make it appear as there's more value in a specific player, right? And what I mean by that is the player's agent, they want to put it out there that multiple teams are interested in him, right? Because that boosts his stock. Also, there are teams that don't want him, and they'll leak it out. Oh, man, hell, he's a legit quarterback. Trying to get other teams to buy into that, too. There's just a lot of that going on. I really trust Daniel Jeremiah. To me, he's the closest thing to Mike Mayock that we've had at NFL Network, and I think Mike Mayock is one of, if not the best, draft evaluators amongst the media heads, right? Obviously, he went on to be a general manager. He's just one of those guys that the information was always solid for Mike Mayock. I never felt like he was given information just to be different or try to boost numbers and ratings and things like that. But here's Daniel Jeremiah, who's the lead NFL draft expert on NFL Network. He played quarterback at Appy State. He was a scout for the Baltimore Ravens. He has been in the draft room. He's been behind the scenes doing the scouting. Every bit of information he shares from a scout's perspective, right? And I love how he kind of filtered through and talks about quarterbacks 1 through 4 and how J.J. McCarthy, the hype around J.J. McCarthy might be true. But let's go ahead and hit this clip. Again, you can find this on the Pat McAfee Show YouTube channel as well as on Twitter. Go give it a like, a share, all that good stuff. Here we go.
DJ, when does the first non-QB come off the board? And who do you think snatches him up? Is anything like crazy happen for someone to get in there?
Well, I think that I put it out in my last mock draft. And again, people, it's just hilarious how they can't get to this point or see this potential. But I had all four quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4. So the first non-quarterback is there at 5. And I know there's going to be a lot of debate about McCarthy. I heard a little bit of Lombardi on with you guys earlier. He brought up a lot of good points. You know, hey, it would benefit some of these teams to get that name up there. But I'm talking to people that are in the quarterback market and teams that are not in the quarterback market. And J.J. McCarthy's really highly thought of. So I don't think that's a smoke screen situation. I think that's legitimate. And you have too many teams. There's too much demand. There's, you know, all those teams, that 11, 12, 13, Minnesota, Denver, the Raiders, all those teams are in the quarterback business. So there's potential for those guys to jump up, which would leave you 5, the Chargers. And I mean, like Harbaugh said it the other day, like technically they got the first pick in the draft. If you, you know, you got Justin Herbert, he's not going to be, you know, none of these quarterbacks are going to be stacked for the Chargers on top of their board. They've literally got their pick, or they could trade down.
Well, they could view it as they have the first two picks. Justin Herbert, we drafted above all these guys. Yeah. We would draft him above all these guys. And then we get any position player we'd like to either help or move forward with. Good weapons, too. But you have there, I believe, 4 trading. Conman's got a question for you.
Yeah, DJ, you said, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, that you thought the Commanders were more likely to be the team that would trade out than the Patriots, because that was the debate. You know, the Vikings get all those picks. Are they going to trade with the Commies, or are they going to trade with the Patriots? Hopefully the latter. Just kidding.
I love Boston Connor, man. That dude, he causes Pat more problems on that show because he just doesn't care what he says. By the way, if you guys didn't watch the show today, that last hour, gold. Them trying, they literally got Ice Cube on the show to ask him about Diddy. And they use the big three league that he runs, right? They use that to get the conversation started. They were trying to get information out of Cube.
Absolutely. Come on, man. If you bring Ice Cube on, you got to talk about the Raiders. You know, that's right. For real.
They didn't touch the Raiders. They said, what about the big three league? Okay, by the way, what do you think about Diddy? It was awesome. So anyway, I think what he's saying there, what I take away from it, guys, is you're probably don't be surprised if 1, 2, 3, and 4 are quarterbacks. And as a Packers fan, that's great news. What you may end up having happen is one of those top-tier players, and what I mean by that is the Packers draft board, they may have in their very top tier, there's a chance one of those players slip down there within range where they could trade up the more quarterbacks that are taken. I don't think there'll be 5 taken before the Packers pick. Could be wrong, but it's sounding more and more like there's going to be 4 taken, man. What do you think, Amelia? You think they'll take 4 before the Packers pick?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's a possibility for sure. Even when I was listening to Lombardi, he was saying even the Giants, you know, could be in on it. It's you could go anywhere with it. And, you know, and JJ is going to have to be, you know, at least somewhat the real deal, or else Harbaugh probably wouldn't have said anything about it. Right. I mean, yeah, he was his coach and everything like that. But if you're going to put that much stock in it every time they ask you a question, you know, he's a coach of another team and he's already got a quarterback right now. But, you know, if he's that good, you know, he's going to say it. So I don't think that would be out of the question for go before us. And like you said, that would help us tremendously. Just give us more a pick of the litter of everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, Tim?
You know, honestly, I'm not discounting the fact that we could have an early surprise in this draft and a trade down, or, you know, maybe even a draft and then trade the player. I mean, you never know. We try to predict this stuff with certainty, and then draft day happens, and no matter how much research you do, no matter how many mock drafts you do, something happens and throws everything out of whack. That being said, the first 5 picks, yeah, I could totally see 4 quarterbacks going in those first 5, but barring something crazy, you know, one of the things is that I think a lot of us act like it's a foregone conclusion that the Bears are going to draft Caleb Williams. And there's a chance that that doesn't happen. You know, we don't know. We can speculate all we want. We can analyze all we want. We don't know until draft day. And that's kind of what makes it so exciting. But, you know, I'm with you guys. And obviously, Daniel Jeremiah knows what he's talking about. I could totally see that happening. But I won't be surprised if we're surprised on draft day. We'll just say that.
Yeah, I completely agree, man. Drew D in the chat says, I like Jeremiah. His information is pretty good, but his communication is even better. Yeah, he's just one of those dudes that you never hear him beating anyone down either, right? It's always like, hey, here's what I'm hearing. It's not – there's never this, hey, I'm up on this mountain. You guys are lower than me. Listen to me. I always get that vibe with Mel Kiper, whether it's true or not. Obviously, never had a conversation with the man. He may be the nicest man on the face of the earth, but the way he presents his information is like, you dummies, let me tell you what's actually going on here, right? And he tends to swing and miss a lot. I'll just leave it at that. 2-0 for this says, here in Minnesota, there's a lot of talk about possibly trading for Herbert and letting Harbaugh.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built for us.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Get McCarthy. And what you just heard them say there to over this is, you know, would you be willing, who would you draft first? Justin Herbert or J.J. McCarthy? I know I'm drafting Justin Herbert, right? If Justin Herbert was in this class as a rookie again, knowing what we know now about Justin Herbert, I don't know if there's a quarterback in this draft I would take over Justin Herbert. And I'm not ruling out that you know, Harbaugh would do that. Harbaugh's the type of guy, if he feels convicted, man, he's going to do it. He's going to pull the trigger on something. That's just his personality. And I think that's one of the reasons why he's been successful is like, hey, he removes the noise. Here's what my, you know, intuition's telling me. I'm rolling with this move right here. And obviously he had success in San Francisco and went on to win a national title there with Michigan, his alma mater. I wouldn't rule that out 2-0 for this, but if it were me personally, I'm keeping Justin Herbert personally. What do you think, Emil? Who would you rather have, J.J. McCarthy or Justin Herbert?
I mean, that's the question, right? It would be, hey, will you trade him for us? You know, will you trade us Justin Herbert for that number one pick or number three pick, whatever it is? And honestly, I don't think I would, man. You know, Justin Herbert's a dog. You see what he plays through. He plays through pain. He, Brett Favre tendencies, things like that. And you can't, you know, you can't build that on a player, right? He's kind of grown. He's had those things before, and I love the way he plays and love the way he carries himself. So I don't think that I would make that decision. But again, that puts Harbaugh in a tough place because the way he's backing, you know, JJ, and would you give up, you know, would you give him up for it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Tim? I'm pretty adamant. I'm sold on Justin Herbert being a franchise quarterback, man. What do you think?
No, Herbert's the real deal. But I mean, the real question we're asking ourselves right here out loud is Jim Harbaugh, does he have that pull? You know what I mean? I mean, talking about the Chargers here, you know, they've already got, you know, stock invested in Herbert. Herbert has performed. You know, what does general manager Joe Horitz say about all of this? And how much, you know, I think if you ask Jim Harbaugh, You know, he might say, yeah, I want JJ, you know, to be frank. But, you know, in reality, you know, he's coming in as a head coach here in an organization that's been in their own right, kind of pseudo knocking on the door themselves in the AFC the last couple of seasons. You know, Herbert has performed at the NFL level. Are you willing to move on from a guy like that just to take a draft pick? You know what I mean? So yeah. I think we're going to see when it comes down to it, you know, draft day, what happens. But ultimately, I don't think Coach Harbaugh is the general manager over there. And, you know, he may have some input, but ultimately, who's going to make that decision, you know?
Yeah. No, I think it's very well said. Drew D in the chat said, I was early on McCarthy. He's been my number three quarterback pre-combine. I think Daniels is overrated. That's very interesting, man. And that's what's awesome about everyone's opinion and kind of, you know, everyone's favorite at each position. We get to find out, right? And it doesn't matter where they're drafted. It matters how they perform at the next level, obviously. Right. I've actually got McCarthy. It's really quite the opposite from Drew's opinion here, which is really neat. If you look at quarterbacks, I got Caleb Williams at number two on my big board. I've got Drake May at number five. And then I've got Jaden Daniels at number nine overall. And then it drops down a good little ways here to Michael Penix at the 33 spot. Then I've got Bo Nix at 37. Then J.J. McCarthy at 39. And again, this is all stuff that got put in. This isn't my personal opinion, like, hey, this guy's better. All the information I compiled, that's how my board lies. It sounds like JJ McCarthy doesn't have that arm talent that just wows you, but he does play in rhythm. He plays on time, right? Which is huge at the NFL. You can have the biggest arm, you can have all this mobility like a Caleb Williams. Not saying Caleb Williams is not going to be a good quarterback, but you can have all that natural talent and ability. But if you don't play on time, which, by the way, is the knock on Caleb Williams, is he doesn't play off time. He plays out of the structure of the play really well, but when he's playing on time, not as comfortable. It's almost like he kind of deviates from that. Now, that may change when he gets to the next level. But, yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see. But, yeah, as it sits right now, I just realized that because I haven't even looked at quarterback much. I just put the information into the spreadsheet and then roll with it. And J.J. McCarthy is in the 39 spot. And, again, he is he's my fifth best quarterback on this. That kind of surprised me, looking at Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. above him, which is kind of wild. Let's see here. Mark Zambito in the chat says, finally signed up on Patreon. Congratulations, buddy. Appreciate you, Mark. We'll make sure we put you in the drawing for the giveaways, all that good stuff. Appreciate you. We have a PTA posse over there at Patreon. And this is a reminder, guys. Listen, if you had a YouTube membership for the PTA posse on our YouTube channel, cancel it, okay? Go make sure, because right now you're not getting charged. But if at any point, they just randomly decide, oh, okay, no, they followed the rules. It was a mistake. They monetized the channel again. You're going to get hit with that charge. I don't want people getting double charged. Okay, we're just going to shift over to Patreon and move forward. That's how we're going to roll. It sucks we can't do super chats, but it is what it is. Which, by the way, I found out today that with the super chats, YouTube actually gets 30% of that money from the super
chats. Wow.
So, wow. Holy cow, man. Because we had people, you know, $50 super chats.
So yeah. You want a super chat, go over to Rumble.
There you go. There you go, right? So, again, we're going to stay on YouTube and everything, but we're not going to try to, you know, kill a lot of time trying to figure out what exactly they want. They're being very, very vague with the description and stuff, so it is what it is. Drew D in the chat says, I think the Patriots take McCarthy and Vikings jump up for Daniels at four. That would be interesting, Drew, you know, because many people after Jaden Daniels' pro day, I think it was today, they were just talking about his arm looked live and everything. They were worried about his weight. Some people were thinking, is he going to come in at like 180, 190? I think he was 6'4", 210, which not as bad as we were expecting. Of course, he'd been slamming cheeseburgers trying to get that weight up. I guarantee you. He never stepped foot in a sauna for the last 3 months. I promise you that, right? That dude is – he's trying to hold some water weight, no doubt. But that would be cool, man. And, Drew, man, make sure you write this stuff down too, man, because when it comes draft time, if you hit on this stuff, we want to know it, right? That's the whole purpose of us having these conversations too, is like, hey, so-and-so actually had this right. That makes the conversation that much more – enjoyable for sure. Coach Lynn in the chat said, I saw Penix could go before us at 25. Also, I hope that's the case. More quarterbacks go, the better for us. Amen. And again, I've got Michael Penix. I've got Michael Penix in the 33 spot. So if you looked at it grade-wise as it sits right now, 43.4, you always treat a quarterback one tier higher, right? It just so happens that will push him into underneath 40 on the grade, which would put him in the tier where we pick. So there's a good chance he could go there if my board was accurate. And I'm not suggesting it's, you know, the grand poobah of boards here. I'm just saying. So, yeah, that would be awesome if we can get five quarterbacks off the board before we pick. 2-0 for this in the chat said, Vikings are in prime position to jump up at any time when they feel the quarterback market slipping away. That's a good point, too. Kind of keep – if they don't trade before the draft, Emilio,
yeah,
if they don't trade before the draft, then they can just kind of sit there and on draft night, if at any point, crap, we're going to miss out on one of these top guys, let's jump up there, right?
Yeah, they got something in their back pocket, right? You know, and it's either you set up before you set up before the draft, that way you know, hey, we're going in at, you know, pick three or four or whatever, or you're rolling the dice and hoping the board falls a different way. And that's exactly what we're talking about now, right? It can be any way, it can be any sort of mock that you could draw up could happen. So yeah. It's kind of cool, but having that option has got to feel nice.
And I mean, look at us. We weren't in the market for a quarterback. We traded up to get Jordan Love.
Great example.
You've got to be ready to pivot there on draft day, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And if you want to go back and watch that Pat McAfee draft party and see Ty Schmidt's reaction, that was most – people like to laugh at him now, but that was 90% of Packer fans when that pick happened. Yep. It was a big old fat GD, right? Right on live on the air. He was so upset. He had to walk off the set. He was so mad. I remember going, all right, that means they've got a high grade on him. That means we might have our next franchise quarterback. They're not trading up in the first round if they don't think they've got the franchise quarterback. Now the question is, do they have him?
And we're feeling that's right. So when you look at a draft like this where there's multiple potential franchise-type guys, you know, at quarterback, I don't count that out at all. I certainly think they can make a move for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric Sutherland in the chat said, Joe, I agree. I hope six quarterbacks go ahead of us. That would be freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. Jay Cole in the chat said, Broncos will get Bo Nix. There you go. He's saying Bo Nix for the Broncos. I've got him in the 37 spot there from Oregon. I could see that potentially being a fit for the Broncos too. The thing about the Broncos, Sean Payton knows what he wants. He wants a player – that can read progressions too. He don't just want to pick a side guy, right? So I guarantee you that's a big part of his evaluation.
It's going to be an uphill battle, though, when you're still paying for another quarterback.
You know, yeah, right.
You're going to have to smack this draft out of the park. You're kind of limited.
Got to, man. Got it. And that's the thing. Like some people say, oh, you're overpaying to try to find the quarterback. Guys, it's the most important piece.
Yeah.
You got to take swing after swing after swing until you find that guy. Because if you don't have that guy, it's going to be such an uphill battle to win a championship, to win a Lombardi. It really is. I always like to say walk back in time. All right, when was the last team to win the Super Bowl that didn't have that franchise quarterback? You can find a couple.
Right.
Man, they're few and far between. They really are. Joseph in the chat says, hoping Nix goes before us too, and one of the UW or OSU tackles slips to us. That would be nice, man. Get one of those top-tier tackles fall right in our lap. For sure. Brett in the chat said, I think five quarterbacks go before Green Bay. That includes Nix to Denver. So Bo Nix, everybody talking about Bo Nix to Denver. Put it on the ticker, Emilio. The posse has spoken. So let's see what else we got here. Eric Sutherland says, our guy's going to fall to us and Goot's going to trade back from 25. LOL. We're going to be sitting there going, yeah, we got three of our top guys here. Goot's going to trade back and take someone we had a third round grade on. It's going to end up being a stud. It's going to happen. Ready. It's just how it always happens, man. No doubt.
He can block.
Prince in the chat says, dark horse for quarterback going earlier than anyone thinks is Spencer Rattler. People will laugh at that, Prince. They'll laugh at that. But I heard several different people say over the course of the last, you know, 7 to 10 days, Spencer Rattler, he was the number one quarterback in the nation going into college, okay? And they said – I heard people say he may have the most arm talent of any quarterback in this draft. Like he has all the ability in the world. The problem is he is just I don't want to say he stunk it up, but he has not won anywhere he's went. He can't, you know, kind of had that really bad look at Oklahoma where he lost the starting job and then he just went up transferring. And then I think I can't remember if he transferred a second time or not, but it's just things haven't really panned out the way you expected it for the number one, you know, recruit in the country. But again, people that I trust, man, they're talking about this dude's got a pro arm on him, right? So
yeah, and you always talking about laughing. I could see that happening. I can see him being taken higher than we think for sure.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find him real quick. What do you think about Spencer Rattler? You got anything on him at all, Emilio? Any kind of personal opinion as I try to run him down here?
I mean, as you're running him down, all I can think is, you know, they're going to reach for quarterbacks, right? It's always one tier higher. And it doesn't matter what our board says. It doesn't matter what PFF says. It matters what that team's board says on these quarterbacks, right? They could all be in tier one. It could be 15 quarterbacks in tier one, right? It's all about how they look at it, what they think their team needs are. And it really could, I mean, we could be looking back and see like 6, 7, 8 quarterbacks all gone in the first, like just because people think that they need them or whatever, right? And it's just how it's going to roll, man. We have no say in what's going to happen right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me pull this up real quick. I keep telling you guys what I've got going on over here, but I should be able to share it on the screen, I believe. To where it's going to be hard for you guys to see. It's as big as I can make it on the screen here. But, yeah, so I've got Joe Milton. I'm just going to say the number next to him. Keep in mind, the number I say, it's actually one under it because there's one space that's a placeholder. So when I say 97, he's actually 96 on my board. I've got Joe Milton at 97, okay, which is wild because I'm not a Joe Milton fan at all. This, if you need any proof that I remove my personal opinion from my board, it's Joe Milton. The fact that he's in the top 100, because I do not think he is not a quarterback I would want anyone to touch. I'm just telling you, he's another one that's one of those guys that he's just bounced around everywhere and it's never really stuck. And he's got this attitude like, oh yeah, man, I'm the best there is. And you got to have that confidence. But
it's got like, a cannon.
What's that?
I said he's got a cannon.
Yeah, sooner or later, Bub, you're going to have to win somewhere. Something got to happen. You know what I mean? So I got Joe Milton at 97. He does got a cannon. There's no two ways about it. I got Jordan Travis at 106, right? I got Michael Pratt at 108. And then I've got Spencer Rattler at 117. You're probably saying, all right, what brought Spencer Rattler down? It was his 2022 grade, okay? So in 2022, graded out kind of bad. He's obviously, I think he started in the offseason here, 97th on the big board, consensus big board. When I took the information in immediately following the season, he was at 111, and then the 33rd team has him at 104. So 2022 grade is what kind of brung him down a touch. Which,
wait, why do you have Jordan Travis down there? Is it because of this last year, right? His injury finishing
Jordan Travis. So he graded out the sixth highest quarterback in 2022, if I remember correctly.
Right. Okay.
He was 28 going into the offseason. Jordan Travis was 28, I believe, on the consensus big board, or not on PFF's big board, if I remember correctly. Okay. And then on the consensus big board going into this season was 160. So the consensus big board is what drug him down, okay, going into the offseason. And then if you look, I believe that's correct too. When I took the 33rd team data, he was 160 according to the 33rd team as well. Okay. So to answer your question, it was the consensus big board and the 33rd team that brought him down. PFF, if we just went off PFF, then on my board, we would be considering him to be a top 30 pick.
Yeah, and that's where if he didn't get hurt, that's where he would have been, right? If he didn't get hurt, I definitely think he would be also in the consideration. So
it's got to be why it brought him down.
Right. So whoever picks him up in the later rounds is going to have, you know, obviously there's an injury there, but he was supposed to be in the top, you know, 50 for sure. Definitely would have been in the, you know, top conversation. So again, it's all about, you know, what happens in college. You know, he had the injury, it brought him down. Are you going to get a steal later round? Right. It could happen that way.
Absolutely. Pete in the chat said, I'm very happy we have a quarterback, one who is training with MMA fighters this offseason. That always helps. No doubt about it, man. I love Jordan Love, dude. I'm so excited about the future of Jordan Love. There was a lot of talk on Wildy and Tausch. It was either today or yesterday. They were talking to Brian Bulaga about it and, you know, this contract and how it may or may not drag on. Some people were expecting the contract to get done as soon as you can in May, right? Wildy seems to think it's going to drag into the training camp. But he also put he mentioned, look, guys, he put together nine good games. Let's play devil's advocate for just a second. Jordan put together nine really – I mean, he was arguably the best quarterback in the league those nine games. So you shouldn't just, you know, poo-poo that. But what if you say, you know what, if you can't get the deal that you want on him and they're really holding your feet to the fire, then what if you do come out this season and say, let's – as an organization, not that you would tell his camp this, right, which he's got some of the best agents in the business, but maybe you come in and go, let's, you know, Goody, Russ Ball, Brian Gutekunst, Russ Ball, Matt LaFleur, they all sit down with Mark Murphy and go, hey, let's just wait through the first quarter of the season. And if he does come out and kind of go a little flat, but you still think, no, he's still the guy, that number might go down a little bit. If he comes out on fire, then your back's already against the wall that, hey, look, that nine games he put together last season, the main thing is whoever the next quarterback it is to fall in line for that contract extension, you got to beat them to the punch or else that's going to jump it up, you know, 2-3% increase because they've reset the market, right? So, yeah. Jake Shavink in the chat, good to see you, Jake. He said, do you want a boat or something that might be a boat?
He's talking about
that's deep right there, man.
We're talking about Herbert, and you know, we were talking about the Chargers possibly.
It's so true, man.
Trading, it's like, yeah, it's a great point. You know, do you want something proven, or do you want to roll the dice again? And I don't think the Chargers are trying to, you know, become the Chicago Bears of the AFC. So
right. You know. And how many times, guys? How many times? Ooh, look at that! I figured it out, boys. Uh-oh. I'll tell you what, yeah, this redneck learning how to work a computer.
Watch out.
About to get real up in here. There we
go. No, Tim, I was thinking more. Stop playing with him, you.
Stop playing with him. There you go. I love it.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, do you want a boat or something that might be a boat? I mean, think about it. Like, what are we going to say about every prospect in this draft? Man, he looked great in college. Will it transition to the next level? Will it transition? You've seen it transition with Justin Herbert, right? Like, why would you try to roll the dice on that? So I think that's a very good point, Jake. Very good point, buddy. Let's see what else we got in here. Anything else we need to hit in the chat?
I just started a couple from Bates.
Appreciate you, Tim. Thank you so much for working the chat, man. John in the chat said Packers moved up to grab Christian Watson. Good point, right? Traded up for that. Let's see here. Mark Zambito, Clayton, what do you think about the Kentucky cornerback? I should know that. Oh, we're probably talking about Andrew, what's his name?
Phillips.
Andrew Phillips. Let's see if we can find him here real quick. I think he was kind of low on my board.
PFF has him ranked.
You know how you feel about the Kentucky quarterback already? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, PFF right. Has him 82nd, 6 foot, 187. He had a 71.7 grade last year, 333 out of 852 cornerbacks.
Got it. Yeah. So I currently have him in the 182 spot on my board. Okay. And so in 2022, he was the 391st graded cornerback. Going into the offseason, he was 327 in 2023. The consensus big board had him at 201. And the 33rd team slotted him in at 95. So the 33rd team picked him up. And then, of course, he had a 9-plus RAS, if I remember correctly, too. So by the time we get to the final grade, he probably will jump a few spots, seeing that his grade there was 200. He'll probably jump up somewhere around 178 would be my guess. But I'm not as high on him as the 33rd team. But, again, man, that – You always got to raise your eyebrows to the 33rd team because they've got a ton of really, really smart football people that's advising them over there. So, yeah, hopefully that answered your question there, Mark. I got him in currently sitting, like I said, in the 182 spot on my board. So, let's see what else we got. I like this. Jake Shavink, Jordan Travis's Minshew light. I always liked Minshew, man. If I was Jacksonville, I would have kept him and moved forward with him and try to make him my quarterback because he's one of those guys that – obviously, you're never going to have to overpay for him. You know, he wasn't I don't think anybody would say Gardner Minshew is a franchise quarterback, right? But with the state of the team at the time and how the team kind of rallied around him, I found myself going, if there was a quarterback in the league that I would say, you know what, let's build off a light quarterback cap hit and put a lot of talent around him. Gardner was one of those guys.
But where did he end up? Vegas? Is he in Vegas now?
Yeah, he went to Indianapolis last year, and then, you know, obviously, I believe it was last year, if I remember correctly, he had to fill in for Anthony Richardson going down.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Tim. I think he is in Vegas now. So they obviously seen something in him. And lo and behold, what did I just sit here and say? He's kind of a locker room guy. You could tell the guys rallied around him. He's one of those dudes. He's one of the guys, right? He's not – Caleb Williams is really – he's – listen, I could care less – about his personal life. This is not a knock on Caleb Williams' personal life. You guys remember early last year on this pod, I said, there's something about Caleb that bothers me, that it's like he wants attention, right?
Right.
And what I simply said was, what other quarterback in the league turned out to be a franchise quarterback, which is what you damn well better get at the number one pick, right? Yeah. If you take him in the top five, you better get a franchise quarterback. Name the franchise quarterback that had that same type of approach in college, not the pros. I know people can say Joe Namath. I had a buddy, they said, well, Joe Namath was like that. I was like, he wasn't like that at Alabama. He was like that when he got the New York Jets. But, you know, in college, Baker Mayfield comes to mind, right? Baker Mayfield, up and down, up and down. Obviously, he got a contract this year. The other one was Johnny Manziel, was just all about, remember him constantly doing that and, you know, drawing attention to himself. Didn't pan out. That's kind of the vibe I get with Caleb Williams. Now, he could come in and just absolutely light it up. He's got the arm talent. He's got elite arm talent, obviously. But with Minshew, if he did sign with the Raiders, you've got Antonio Pierce, a former player, that said, I like that dude as my quarterback right there, right? So it makes a lot of sense, seeing that he was kind of one of those locker room guys. So let's see here. United Bates says, this is happening with Hurts now in Philly. It's a good point, man, with Hurts. Who did they just trade for, Emilio? Who was it they bring in? You remember? They just bring in someone. Kenny Pickett, right? They traded for Kenny Pickett as a backup.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's right. Because I remember Lombardi was saying, you know, Kenny Pickett, you were a first round pick, right? Or, you know, you were starting quarterback of a notable organization. And, you know, the best thing in your interest was to go be a backup for Philly, right?
He said that, didn't he? He said that's right, it was in my best interest.
Yep, to go be a backup. And I'm like, dude, where's that fire? Where's that drive? Where have you, you know, where's that love for the game when you were a kid, ran out, and that was the only thing you were thinking about? You know, the butterflies before a game, things like that. You know, how are you going to go? I mean, you know, I guess backup quarterback's a good gig, right? You know, you just get to hold the clipboard, you get paid. So not a bad gig, but I would miss the game a little bit.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Tim? When you hear someone who was a first round pick and he played at Pitt, he's from the Philly area, I believe. So he did get to go home, but he played at Pitt. They were all on board with him. We want Kenny. I remember Mike Tomlin saying Kenny effing Pickett, like he was all about Kenny Pickett, and then he comes in and they basically bring someone in to compete with him. He didn't want to compete. And then his quote, like Emilio was saying, and Michael Lombardi pointed it out on the GM Shuffle with Femi Abemefe, he was like, yeah, you know, I just feel like this is the best place for me. He's like, it's the best place for you to be a backup quarterback? Like, where's the competitiveness, man? I don't know. That rubs me the wrong way. What do you think about that, Tim?
That's why I say, like, you know, draft where you draft a guy is – you know, not as important as we always think sometimes here, you know, Pickett's on the trajectory now to be a journeyman quarterback. You know, he's going to be a backup. He may start a few games, certainly not a franchise guy. And hey, every quarterback in this draft, even the guys in the top section of the big boards, they're not all guaranteed franchise guys. You never know. You know, some people have to, you know, what was the Travis Kelce quote? Know your role and shut your mouth kind of thing, you know? So you got to give a young player credit if he kind of has that vision, like, hey, you know, yeah, I'm not that dude. I'm the dude behind the dude kind of mentality. So, hey, maybe he's just trying to cash checks and, you know, have a nice long, you know, 10, 15 year career. And, you know, I don't know, you know, I got to say though, you're right. Where's that competitive fire? You know, because look at analysis and how you look at a guy before you draft him. Everyone was high on him based off of what they saw.
Right.
And he comes into the league and he sees some NFL pressure and he sees, you know, we always talk about that. Some guys can't keep up with the speed of the game. When you're talking about quarterback, like you said, are you, side to side guy, or can you actually go through possession or progressions? So some guys can't do it. Some guys have all the physical attributes. They don't have the mental. Some guys have all mental. They don't have the physical. So I don't know. I think that's just a thing that worked itself out. And that may be why Kenny Pickett's like, yeah, I'll take the backup job. Because maybe he knows he's had a couple years here. And what have we seen, you know?
Yeah, great point. Becky United Bates' original comment, he said, this is happening with Hurts in Philly. And he went on to say, had a great season. Everyone loved him. Got paid last season. Didn't go as well. Now Philly fans are questioning him. Well, it's a short memory when it comes to NFL fan bases, man. You don't believe me? Go back and listen to how the fans were talking about Jordan Love in the first half of the season last year. And then by the end of the year, it was silence. Right? Yeah, so – let's see what else we got here in the chat before we move on. Magic says Green Bay does it the right way. Sit and learn. It's so important, man. It's so important. Just being able to kind of not just see how someone does it the right way, but when they face adversity. Right. And I love the fact that Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers are still so close. I know the Aaron Rodgers haters, They've got to be like that. You ever seen that GIF of the little girl with the hairbrush and she's mad and she's shaking it angry? You know, like, oh, that's the Aaron Rodgers haters. Every time they see Jordan Love with taking a picture with Aaron Rodgers, I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. They can't stand to see the fact that they're so close. But he said, man, I thought I was kind of, you know, preparing and doing everything I could until I stepped into Green Bay and seen the way Aaron Rodgers practiced. You know, people tried to paint this narrative about Rodgers that, oh, he don't want to come to camp. He don't want to do this. He don't want to do that. When he went out there to practice, it was like, hey, this is every throw needs to be absolutely perfect. You know, you practice the way you want to play, right? Every great coach will tell you that. And I love the fact that Jordan picked up on that. Like, hey, and, you know, it was cool, too. Somebody was talking the other day. I think it might have been on Wilde and Tausch. But they were talking about Brian Gutekunst had mentioned, as far as scouting goes, when you go out here, listen, don't try to find another quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. Like, this is Goody's words. Like, that dude's an alien. Let's try to hold everyone to that standard, because we're going to pass up on a really good quarterback if we do, right? That's just the way he practiced. I thought it was cool that Jordan continues to kind of talk about how 12, you know, helped him. And it goes right along here with what Magic said about Green Bay does it the right way, sit and learn. Not only do you get to see them do it the right way, but then on those bad days too. I guarantee you there was multiple times that things didn't go right, Emilio, and I guarantee you Jordan was going, I'm not handling it that way. I'm going to handle it different from 12 on that. Right. That's a good thing, right? I talk about the way I was raised. People were like, man, I don't know how you turned out the way you did, because it was rough. A biker family, bro. I seen some stuff at the age of 6, 7, 8 years old that some grown men have never seen. I'll just leave it at that. Like, it was wild in a biker family. But I always said I had the perfect example of what not to do, right? Like, hey, I'm not going to be that when I get older. Not that it was my dad with that, but being around people and seeing people and going, I ain't acting like that when I grow up. You know, right. I mean, perfect example of what not to do. But I think it helps, man, sitting and learning, don't you, dude?
Definitely. I mean, you don't have all the experience the first day on the job, right? You know, you can't sign up for a job with 10 years experience coming out of high school. So, you know, at some point you got to learn from somebody. At some point you got to, you know, you got to just close the mouth and start listening, right? And some people don't do that in time and some people do. And I, you know, I can't, you know, help them with it, but, you know, at some point you got to learn, right? So it's, not a bad move at all.
Yeah. I mean, people act like Aaron just came to Green Bay and was great. Like, right. dude was not great when he got here. You know, that happened over a series of years. And, you know, I remember those first starts and we started to see that greatness when he took over after Brett. But that was a couple seasons in the making, you know, by design. So,
right.
I mean, like I said, we talked about this a few weeks ago. When is the last time you saw a rookie quarterback come into the NFL, other than maybe last year with C.J. Stroud? When have you seen someone have that kind of impact immediately on a franchise? It's very rare. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Hardy the Prophet in here says, I'd say it's about a 65% chance that we take Max Miller.
65%.
We doubled it up. I love it.
I saw it and I had to put it up there. We needed it. But yeah, of course.
Gotta have it. Nice. Gotta have it. So this is where I differ from a lot of people. My board differs from a lot of people. And I know I'm in the extreme minority with this now. I've got Max Melton at 175. And some people are saying maybe the second or third rounds where he'll be taken. Now, keep in mind, the reason I got him at 175, got a 385 number on him from 2022. He was sitting at the 283 spot when I took the information down for 2023 PFF. And then the consensus big board had him at 88. And then the big number is for me is the 33rd team has him at 131. So it kind of drug him back down a touch from the consensus big board. So we'll see where he lands. He didn't grade out that great, according to PFF. Now, Jake will confirm it. He was down there at you know, the Senior Bowl. Sounds like he had a really good week at the Senior Bowl. I think he might have had the fastest GPS time amongst corners, if I understood correctly. So there's a lot of positives there, right? Positives. So, again, I know I'm in the minority there, but I've actually got him in the 175 spot, which is why I'm not very big on him. With the right pick, absolutely. And I could be completely wrong here. I could. But just based off of the way I build my board, that's how Max Melton currently sits. As much as I would love to see him on the Packers roster, right? And there's many people that are mocking him. We'll probably talk about that tomorrow. I got a specific mock that I pulled out that someone had put up from A to Z Sports that we could kind of hit on. So, yeah, Hardy the Prophet, man, I think I would not be surprised at all if they take Max Melton in, you know, in the third round. Maybe the second. I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. I'd like to see where Jake has him, too, if you guys can kind of keep an eye. We're getting ready to wrap the stream up. If Jake, if you're still in here, throw it up in the chat and tell us where you've got Max Melton as far as overall. I'd like to know that because it seems like I'm the only one that has him out of the top 150 in today's, you know, kind of mock – not mock drafts, but big boards, I should say. Let's see here. United Bates, internet, quote, Rodgers is a bad teammate. Everyone that's played with him, we love Aaron. It's so true. But last year on the Jets, they made it sound, oh, the Jets are fed up with him. Players hate it. Guys, he got voted as like one of the – I think – did he get voted as the best teammate? Like it was – they voted on the team, and he was – they absolutely love him. His teammates love him. It's just this – anyway, I'm just tired of talking about Rodgers because it's just such a bad look when it's like, oh, he's the best thing since sliced bread. And then the second he's not playing with the team, it's, oh, this dude's horrible. Get him out of here. I hate that. John in the chat says, Jordan Love has two recent long interviews. He is humble, yet uber confident. His hero is his father, great sports dad, police officer, youth pastor at their church. Jay Love is such a good dude. Amen. 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 I love it. It's actually a tweet I pinned, a video from that interview when he was talking. They asked him about, you know, I think it was Ryan Clark said, you know, quarterbacks are kind of viewed as heroes, right, in Green Bay. And he was like, my heroes were my parents. They were both police officers. I grew up listening to stories about how my dad was fighting crime. They talked about how his dad – it's the biggest thing I took away from them drafting him was in the scouting report it said his dad was supposedly this pillar of their community. And now, because of being over-medicated for blood pressure, it led to the tragedy that happened with his father. I won't go into too much detail, but Jordan talks about he wasn't the same person after they upped his medication, which is just that hits home with me. You guys know I've talked about my mother overdosing and how that kind of came about, and just the fact that his dad was his hero. In the scouting report, they said he had a lot of his father's traits, which many people in their community said he was that guy that everyone could turn to. And they see a lot of that in Jordan, man. That's absolutely huge. You've seen it last year. Backs got pushed against the wall, came out struggling, youngest team in the league, second half of the season. He just went out there and played his game, and everybody rallied around him. You could tell they want
to
play.
We were this close to never knowing who Jordan Love was because when he lost his father, it was – you know, he was about to hang it up when it came to football. And you have to give a lot of credit to his mother who pushed him to see it through one more year, see what happens. And he ultimately became a starter in high school. And, you know, the rest is history onto bigger and better things. And now QB1 for the Packers. So, that's just a great story, man. It really is like father, like son, for real. Mm-hmm. You can definitely see that with J Money.
Yeah, it takes a special person, right? And that's exactly what J-Love is. You know, he's a special person, and we are lucky to have him, you know, leading this team.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Coach Lynn in the chat said Green Bay does not just do that with the quarterback either. Gary, Van Ness, Wyatt all have sat and watched. Other teams would throw them in the fire. It's so true. Coach Lynn, obviously he coaches college ball, if I understand correctly, knows all about it, man. You just throw someone in the fire. Some can handle it, but you know, there's been some great quarterbacks come through the league that are considered busts because they were put in just impossible situations, you know, behind bad offensive lines. And I hate to say it, but bad coaching in some cases, right? When I say bad coaching, I'm not saying I could coach any better. I'm just saying compared across the league, right? Be put in a bad situation where a coach might be like making decisions knowing that his back is against the wall and, hey, we got to win now. Let's put all the chips in the middle of the table rather than what's best for the long term of this young player.
I think one of the biggest attributes for a good coach is caring about your guys, right? Caring about your players. And the last thing a good coach would ever want to do is stick someone out there that they don't feel like is ready. You don't want to get a guy hurt. You don't want a guy looking stupid. You know, some lessons you got to learn the hard way, but you don't want a guy falling flat on his face out there, right? You know, so sometimes the best thing to do is just let him watch and learn and, you know, be ready to get him in there the moment that opportunity arises. But, you know, not everyone is a throw him in the fire right away kind of guy. You know, sometimes you can do that to a young player and it, you know, it doesn't work out. And then it changes the whole trajectory of their professional career, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing I want to say, and this kind of hit me today, we'll get ready to wrap up here. What Coach Lynn said here in the chat, you know, Green Bay does it the right way. Not just with quarterback either, you know, Gary, Van Ness, Wyatt, they've all sat and watched. We talked about someone drew a parallel, right, on Twitter, and we showed that tweet several shows ago where it's like when they pay somebody big money, they typically draft someone that position too, right? And we were talking about safety might be in that. Think about this. Who did they just recently pay? It wasn't huge money, but they signed him to a three-year deal. Your slot corner, Keyshawn Nixon, right? So you sign your slot corner, Keyshawn Nixon, and obviously Keyshawn is a great kick returner. This just popped in my mind earlier, and I'm not trying to pretend like I got inside information here. One of the names that has been mocked to the Packers a lot is our boy Cooper DeJean, right? Now, just hear me out here. You sign your all-pro kick returner to a three-year deal, and he plays slot corner. People are saying that Cooper DeJean would be Mel Kiper, and Tim, if you don't use the video, shame on you. But Mel Kiper earlier in the week on Wilde and Tausch said that Cooper DeJean would be the best safety in this class.
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper in a way?
Thank you, Mr. Bill Tobin.
In a way.
So, in a way. So let's just say Mel Kiper's right, and he is the best safety in the class. I heard Daniel Jeremiah earlier today say he's more of an inside safety. He's that guy in Hillman. Pac-Man was kind of saying the same thing. He's not an outside corner. He's more of a slot corner. You just signed Keyshawn to a three-year deal. They said that Cooper DeJean can step right in and be a great kick returner too. Now, I'm not suggesting he should start at kick returner over Keyshawn Nixon. But we had a conversation last night, right, about Jaden Reed. People said, who would be the best?
Whatever keeps Jaden Reed off the field during kick returns, I'm all for it.
And Cooper DeJean keeps kind of getting – now, will he be there? That's the question, because some people were saying he could be a starting running back in the league. That's a bit rich for me, or as our boy who was it that said it? Ricky Bobby once said, I'm too drunk to taste this chicken, right? I'm a little bit hesitant on that.
People say a lot of things, especially about players, you know, that haven't played a down of football in the NFL yet. So,
right.
Wasn't he the freak athlete that, like, set records though in high school, like set state records in high school and like track, you know, baseball, whatever he played, like he was elite in every sport he played.
They said that he is a solid 4-4 guy. And one of the knocks is, I think we got Jake fired up in here. Let me mark these and then we'll get out of here. Yeah. God, it's so true. We got to mark that one too. Jake always comes in at the last second and makes us go over. Damn it. So I heard Daniel Jeremiah say, people around the building he's an easy 4.4 guy. He is so fast, right? And people hear 4.4, they're like, that's not fast. No, that's fast. 4.4 is fast. They say he's an easy 4.4 guy. And if you don't think he's athletic, if you don't get, you know, obviously with the injury, you're not getting much testing from him, if anything at all. They said, go watch his basketball tape. On the basketball court. And I immediately thought, Dontayvion Wicks, another good basketball player. Look at how he's transitioned into the game. Just, you know, all these things kind of running through my mind. So that kind of put that to bed for me as far as that goes. But Jake Shavink said best nickel and potentially the best safety. I kind of agree. So it's not completely off the mark, right, with that comment. So there you go. I'm just saying, when I read that the other day about, hey, they like to draft people when they sign people and this and that, I'm going, you're getting multiple – you know, multiple different levels of value there, right? If for some reason Keyshawn gets banged up and has to miss a few games, first of all, Cooper DeJean might be able to beat him out for that slot nickel spot, right? That could be very well true, or he could play safety in the box. If that's the case, you got someone with some versatility there. You're getting value with the position of need. You're getting value with depth on special teams. You're getting value with the versatility at multiple positions of safety in, you know, and slot corner, which are really both positions of need as we sit right now. So just something to keep an eye on, man. I don't know. I was out there. We were knocking down 17 yards today, Emilio, and I was out there going, it just hit me when I heard Daniel Jeremiah say it. I went, man, this kind of sounds like a Cooper DeJean possibility here, right? So
could be.
Yeah. And so there you go. Appreciate everybody in the chat. This has been a fun show, man. As we get ready to part ways here, I know we got a bunch of people watching on Twitter. If you guys want a little bit easier interface to use, you're welcome to stay on Twitter, but you can hop over to YouTube. If you click on my Twitter profile, you'll see the YouTube link. You can subscribe to the channel there. And obviously, you can chat a little bit easier in here. If you don't have that premium subscription on Twitter, you can chat in YouTube a little bit easier user interface there. But
same to Rumble as well. There was 20. We had 25 in there tonight. So awesome. It's cooking up. You can still chat in there too. It still pops up on the system. So we appreciate it all.
Yeah, we just want to make sure we're giving y'all multiple angles. And again, in case something does happen to the channel, because I don't want to dog them, and I don't want to harp on it, but it was just out of the blue. Was like, hey, bro, can you like let us know what we did wrong? No. Well, just go read the policy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it. Here we go. Because I've already been told. I know Drew mentioned earlier in the chat. And like Chris says here, hit that like button before leaving. Takes only a second. Go, Pat, go. Appreciate you, buddy. Like Drew mentioned earlier, it might be this, it might be that. We've got to prove for all that. You can use copyright material on YouTube. You're allowed to do that. And if it's monetized, the original author gets credit for that. It's weird. It's almost as if someone tried to report us I'll just leave it at that. So anyway, there you go. let's see here.
Things could be a lot worse. I could be a Bears fan.
Too old for this one. Is it really a PTA chat if we didn't see Larry McCarron's pinky? Tim, can you take care of that for us, sir?
Yeah, I can. I can make that happen, guys.
Greatly appreciate it. Go ahead, sir. At any moment, you just do it. Thing fly. All right. Look at Emilio.
He's got his off. I got my blinders on.
You sure about that? There you go. Boom.
Whoa, there it is. Hey, salute the pinky, boys. That pinky right there held the Packers franchise together in the 80s when it could have gotten even worse. That was arguably the best player from the Green Bay Packers in the 1980s.
And don't forget the runner-up here, too. You know, I mean, bam, that's not a –
I don't know. Might actually be the champ. Man,
Pinky looks like it's giving directions.
Anytime a player holds out for a contract and you go, these selfish players, think about that type of stuff right there, please. Because I know that's not life-threatening, but my gosh, man, that is it's hard to hold a daddy soda with
it. I love how it's pointing right at the comment, too. That's perfect. I love it.
Yeah.
Damn.
All right, get that off the screen, please, before I throw up on my keyboard here. All right, cool. what's this? 2-0 for this. Jacob's like Pam on beach day, missing things. We're going to send a search party out for Jacob. I know he's been shoveling a lot of snow here lately, but I don't know, man.
I think he's doing fine, you know? He
has a possum in a dumpster.
We got to increase the volume on. I don't know. That sounds even creepier, the fact that it's so low, right? So, anyway, Jacob, we miss you, buddy. If you're listening to this, you're probably busy, though. Just make sure you stay hydrated, okay, pal?
Hi, I'm Date Mike. Nice to meet me. How do you like your eggs in the morning?
I am going to try to get approval from YouTube. Like, hey, since the channel is not monetized, we're good for anything now, right? Like, we just let this. I'd actually prefer to have it that way, to be honest with you. So, all right, we're going to get out of here, guys. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. This was a lot of fun. The chat controlled the whole show. I had so many topics to cover, man. I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different things we could hit on. I had 2 videos queued up, and the chat just lit it up. So, thank y'all for doing that, man. We really appreciate it.
And I know someone in the chat was asking about the Welsh rugby player. It looks like he's on the verge of signing with the Chiefs, so it looks like that's going to probably be a no-go, but we'll keep you updated.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Drew D in the chat, do you want us putting our takes on Patreon, on Twitter, or wherever you want to put them, guys? Like I said, we want to do stuff special for the Patreon, for sure, because like I said, we appreciate people supporting the show. And again, it's only there because you guys asked about it. But yeah, anywhere you want to put it, Drew, if you guys email me and text me, you know, that comes directly to me. I can get it in the show a little bit easier. But Twitter's fine too. If you got something you want to share that we could potentially put on the show, sometimes a Twitter DM. The DMs will always stay open. I never understood the podcasters that close the DMs. Like, I don't have time for these little people. It's like, what are we even doing here, man? Like, it's just wild to me. Anyway. I know some people do it for a living, and we are not the same, but that's just the way it goes.
You think God never farted?
Exactly.
You should have hit him with the other one, man. Where's it at here?
Oh, we're going to give him some.
There it is. Nah, Tim, Emilio, I appreciate y'all's time, and this was a lot of fun. We're an hour, 10 minutes in, and we didn't hit on a single topic other than just just hanging out with the chat, man. That's awesome. That's how you fill the time in the off season for sure. So, guys, we'll be back tomorrow evening unless there's a morning show. We'll see if Jacob comes out of hiding. If he does, then we might put one together. Or if Emilio or someone's ever available to hop on with Tim, we'll kind of play it by ear. But we'll continue to stay committed to trying to do one per day, keep the content rolling. The channel's growing like crazy. Even with the setback, we're getting subs every single day. The Rumble's growing like crazy. Like I said, the Patreon's up. It's going to be a good year, man. I'm excited. I'm really excited for our draft show, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
1 month away, boys.
Less than a month away. Emilio's going to be in studio. I got to make sure he doesn't get the law called on me here in the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get out of hand over here. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And we got a lot of surprises for you guys and gals. Need to do a giveaway for draft night for sure and celebrate. We'll put a giveaway. That might be our first Patreon giveaway. How about we do that?
There we go.
Everything to Patreon. Anyone who's a Patreon member, active member, what we'll do is we'll put those names on the wheel and draw for it. Again, guys, I can't remind y'all enough. Please, 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 your YouTube memberships for the PTA Posse, cancel them, okay? Because I'm telling you, I cringe at the thought of them activating it again. And you guys getting hit, and you've already jumped over to Patreon. So let's just focus on Patreon. That way we don't have to jump through any hoops. Mm-hmm. We don't have to bother YouTube or anything like that anymore. We'll just roll forward with everything.
Maybe we'll just put all the names on a dartboard, and I'll just blindfold myself and chuck it across the room, see what we get.
Yeah, I'll be taking Lincoln to the emergency vet. Got hit in the rear end with a dart from Emilio over here.
Lincoln's going to be over there like,
on my knee.
Lincoln is awesome, Emilio. Ed is the one that's like, she is a B word.
Mm-hmm.
She runs the show, buddy.
I gotta make sure that she likes me. That's exactly what you're saying.
Oh yeah, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. Yeah. Lincoln is just like the most lovable dude. But boy, when Lincoln thinks somebody's outside of the house, man, I'm about to sell the AR, to be honest with you. I don't need it anymore. Lincoln gets that growl going on. We're good. So anyway, all right, we're out, guys. Appreciate y'all. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful evening. And hopefully spring's hitting where you guys and gals are. I know it's hitting up here or down here, I should say. And it's
definitely, I got azaleas blooming.
On the pod.
That's right, Jacob. Jacob's here in spirit.
He is. I'm bringing him in, you know. We've got to keep him here.
All right. We've killed literally the last 15 minutes. We're out. Appreciate y'all. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you for making us part of your day. And as always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. Go, Pack, go.
The power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. You can tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.